We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. It's that time again. Time for the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joined by longtime color analyst Stan Weber. And the topic, of course, is Kansas State football. The Wildcats coming off a very difficult game last week in Norman, Oklahoma, falling to the eighth-ranked Sooners by a final count of 51-14. And now they turn their attention to the TCU Horned Frogs. That ball game on Saturday. We'll have it for you on the K-State Sports Network starting at 12:30 with the pregame show. More on the Frogs in just a moment, but Stan, that was a long day in Norman. You were fearful of it because of that high-powered Oklahoma offense. And I think when you look at the game in its entirety, you have to say a couple of things. Oklahoma's offense is unbelievably good, and K-State didn't have a very good day.
Yeah, K-State did not tackle like you would expect them to. Made some mistakes on, I think, about stepping up real quick on a play action and allowing a receiver to go past him for a touchdown, a long touchdown. CeeDee Lamb gets up 17-0. An inexperienced play going for a ball on just a route that could have been 15 yards. It turns into another long touchdown. So K-State's defense had nothing to write home about in their play. But you do have to say that Oklahoma's offense is off the charts, and Kyler Murray is a unique talent that he played most of that game, and I'm not sure he ever got touched until he slid down and maybe got brushed a little bit in the second half. He can move away from pressure so easily, keep his composure, and that's in addition to be able to run the ball, throw the ball, and things are going very well also. So an unbelievable performance by the Oklahoma offense. Lincoln Riley is probably the best offensive coordinator in the country right now, and he's the head coach, and Oklahoma really is playing with a lot of passion. Ruffin McNeil's new defensive coordinator. They seem excited on that side of the football as well. We just can't say it enough. Oklahoma goes into the game averaging 8.7 yards per play, the best in college football history. They had 10.3 yards per play against K-State. So even better than that, their average will go up now, adding the stats from K-State. But it's been a team that's so hard to stop. Big plays everywhere, and K-State felt the full brunt of that on Saturday.
Well, let's talk about K-State and its state of mind and state of program here for a moment. You've been around Bill Snyder and Kansas State football a long, long time. There have been certainly way more ups than downs, but I think in terms of frustration, it's been a while since we saw and heard Bill Snyder like he was after the game on Saturday. He'll rebound. He'll get his team ready to go this week. There's no doubt about that, but you know, Wildcat Nation is concerned. What would you say to the K-State fan base right now about, you know, kind of where this program is and the inconsistencies of this season?
Some years just don't go well. We could talk about 2015, for instance, but that was a quarterback injury issue. That mm-hmm. Jesse Ertz was down on the second play of the game, and it just continued on. It was just a struggle every step of the way for that football team. You have years like that. I remember 2001, couldn't seem to have anything go right. 1992, another year. So it hasn't been that many, but there are certain years where it doesn't seem like the ball bounces correctly. Like in 1992, K-State came off a great 1991 season, and then they lost to Utah State on the road. I mean, that just out of nowhere. Like, how did that happen? So there have been some punches in the gut. And recently, K-State's been a slow-starting team and a faster-finishing team. It's something Coach Snyder said he didn't want to happen this year, but it has happened this year. He's quick to point out you don't automatically get the right to finish fast. We'll see if K-State's going to be able to do that. And that's kind of the question mark. Are the players, the coaches, and the fans, if they have much influence on this, they do when it's a home game, but for anybody that has influence on this, are you going to allow the season to play out and see if you can win five out of the last six games, six out of the last seven games, things that K-State has done the last few years. Even in 2015, they started 3-6 and found a way to win their last three games, including a big win over West Virginia. So the first thing I would say is don't close your mind to the season not being finished, and let's play this thing out. That would be my first statement. Secondly, I would look down to last week. Last week, I think, is a great microcosm of college football and the way you can handle these things with a veteran coach. Mike Gundy walked out of Manhattan after getting whipped by K-State and Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And what he said was, we have a program in place, we have a philosophy, we have a standard of operation, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to be fine. And what did they look like on Saturday night before the whole nation? Kirk Herbstreit and ABC there, they played great against Texas. They didn't think about the week before and what happened against K-State and say, oh, geez, our program is just not at all to the standards we normally expect. Remember, they've won 10 or more games for three straight seasons, Wyatt, and then they went up to Manhattan and got run over by the Wildcats and just got their will beaten down. They couldn't tackle anybody. They couldn't get off blocks. It didn't look good at all for the Cowboys. K-State controlled that game in the second half, was the dominant team, the more physical team, the better strategized team. Everything was going K-State's way. And Oklahoma State's coach, Mike Gundy, said, we got good kids. We got a good program. If I had bad kids right now, I'd be telling you we have problems. But I got good kids, and we're going to come back and fight. Well, look how well they played. Why can't K-State do that? Why? That's what I don't understand about a lot of the thought processes right here. K-State got whipped by Oklahoma. But Bill Snyder has a system. This football team doesn't have bad kids. They're not pulling in different directions. Before the Oklahoma beatdown, I don't feel like K-State had any internal problems, that things were going well. And so, to me, I say, why not bounce back? Now, you may say, I'm the eternal optimist. I don't see reality. Tell me what's the fact. I mean, I know a lot about reality. I know a lot about what's going on with K-State football. I'm just telling you, what is different about what the Wildcats are going to experience this week compared to what Oklahoma State experienced last week? I just don't see any difference.
Yeah, it's a great, great point. And to that end, let's go ahead and look to this weekend and talk about Gary Patterson's TCU Horned Frogs. Like Kansas State, they are 3-5 overall and 1-4 in conference play. They have had their issues. But I heard Gary say on the Big 12 teleconference this week that these two teams and programs are quite similar in terms of how they do things, how they're constructed, and how they go about their business. I thought that was very, very interesting, and you know you're going to have two teams on Saturday that are far from perfect, but are both going to show up and really get after it. And I'm excited about that. I know you are, too. It'll be an interesting ballgame for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake, and both do have the same philosophy. And I would throw Gary Patterson's TCU in there with Mike Gundy. I think Patterson, Gundy, and Bill Snyder really are some veteran coaches in this conference that have that philosophy that things aren't going to go perfect all the time, but we're going to continue to fight. And, you know, TCU just lost to Kansas. They are not happy with themselves. They had expectations of being, like last year, Wyatt, the second-place team or so in this conference. Why wouldn't they be a part of the Big 12 championship game? Heck, they thought, Wyatt, that they might be in a national championship hunt. Remember the Ohio State game, how they're playing those guys?
Oh, yeah.
How well they're playing at that time. So, you know, the disappointment level right now compared to expectation is also very much in play for TCU, like K-State. Now, which team can fight back and get back out there and play a better game? I don't know which team is going to do that because it's a very close matchup here. But I do believe, like Gary Patterson says, he's not going to change his approach. Even though people may be down about the program, they're going to continue to push forward. And I do think, you know, Gundy and Patterson and Snyder really, more than any coaches in this conference, have a complete capability of being able to do that, to get back on track. And we'll see which team can play the best right now. But things aren't going perfect for TCU either. Like you said, they've lost four of the last five games. They just lost to Kansas, and they lost their best player. I think the big thing with them is Devontae Turpin was a difference maker. He was the guy who could be put in situations for TCU to make up for any other deficits that they had and would be a dangerous factor, and now he's off the team. And I think we saw the effect of that. Even though they played solid football, they don't have the explosive difference maker that they had even 2 weeks ago. It's one of the reasons why they didn't win against Kansas, and it makes the game against K-State even a better chance for the Wildcats because you just don't have that explosive guy to be put in one-on-one situations. I think it's going to be a very even game. Both teams are very wounded. But which team just keeps their composure, keeps grinding, keeps pushing forward? Gary Patterson's never had problems doing that with his TCU team, and Bill Snyder's never had problems doing it with K-State's team. With today's social media, quick reaction, the players reading what every fan is thinking very quickly, it's a different environment because it used to be able to close ranks, and it'd be just about the coaches and the players, and then you'd say we got a pretty predictable situation. There's a little extra variable right now, Wyatt. With all the noise, as we might say, it's right there on that player's phone. You know, these players can read stuff immediately about what's going on outside the building, and that makes it a little harder for the coaches. So which team may end up being distracted? That'll probably be the team that we'll be looking at that didn't win the game on Saturday. The team that can stay focused and say, we're going to be fine. Let's get back to work. We know what we're going to do. We have good coaches. We have a good plan, and we'll see if K-State can do that or not. But it's a heck of a challenge. This week, when you lose, Wyatt, the next week lasts a lot longer. It seems like it's like a half a month rather than 6 or 7 days when things didn't go well on your last game.
I want to get your impressions of Michael Collins, their quarterback. As we know, Sean Robinson is out for the year, had shoulder surgery a couple of weeks ago. This young guy from Connecticut takes over. In studying the tape in the Kansas game, he was far from perfect, and yet I thought in his first TCU start, he was decent. What did you think?
I think he is solid. I think right now what he's going through, Wyatt, is an excitement level, an enthusiasm to him put into the football team. When you come in as a starter at this point in the year and things haven't gone well, it's easy to be an energy source. I think he came off the bench and really did some nice things against Oklahoma because they were getting run off the field. And after he came in, it seemed like every pass, he would be a jump ball and be caught. And they actually started scoring points against Oklahoma. He got excited. He'd run the football. But when you have that excitement level and things are going well, the next stage is learning how hard it really is and learning where the risks are and then suddenly realizing that you can't just put the whole team on your back. You know, he transferred in from Penn. He's done a nice job. He's a solid quarterback, and being healthy, he's better than Sean Robinson was with that left injury on his left shoulder injury. He wasn't playing so well, so I think they're a more dangerous team with Collins. But I do think it's going to be a little harder than people think, Wyatt, for him to continue to play at the level because it's easy to come in when you've been waiting for this opportunity to play at a Power 5 conference, and you think you can energize a football team and then turn around down after down after down and realize, wow, this isn't so easy. And I think he's probably in that stage. I've experienced it, Wyatt. I was Big 8 Player of the Week my first start against Nebraska, number one team in the country. Mm-hmm. It's out of my mind. You know, could I replicate that, not knowing how dangerous it was out there? I'm talking about not physically. I'm talking about interceptions and bad plays. And, you know, I didn't think about that. I just played. But by 2 or 3 weeks later, I was thinking about, oh, better be careful on that pass because, you know, that guy could pick that off. And you start realizing it's not so easy. The other thing that happens, Wyatt, is they can start strategizing for you. You're a big baseball guy. Can you imagine coming from the minor leagues, stepping up there and, you know, hitting some balls and looking pretty good, and then they start figuring out, oh, wait a second, oh, Wyatt Thompson can't hit that curveball. Guess what they're going to start throwing you? That curveball. And it's the same way with quarterbacks. When you're new to the scene, you know, Oklahoma wasn't all riled up and ready to play against Collins. But after they saw him play a little bit, you can start honing in. Okay, here's the things he does well. Here's the things he struggles with. And they're going to be throwing him their version of curveballs. So, yeah, I think he's a better quarterback for TCU right now, but this is not a dominant quarterback. This is just a guy, if you give him a chance to make plays, he will. But if you can cause some havoc, I think it's going to be a little bit harder for him to protect the football perfectly.
That's a great way to equate it because, like you say, with baseball, if you have a hole in your swing, they will eventually find it. There's no doubt about that. We remind you that the Wildcat Podcast is presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. K-State and TCU on Saturday at 2:30. Our network coverage on the K-State Sports Network starts at 12:30 with the pregame show. Just a couple of peeks at other games in the league this weekend. Iowa State is at Kansas, and Oklahoma State is at Baylor at 11 a.m. Is Iowa State in any risk at all after KU won at home last weekend? What do you think there?
Yeah, absolutely. Kansas is not a bad team. People want to just say, oh, it's KU, but that means they haven't really watched this year's version. The offensive line's better. Puka Williams is a legitimate running back, you know, probably one of the best two or three running backs in the league. And Peyton Bender has done a better job throwing the football recently, and their defense is good. So, yeah, Kansas is a solid team. Now, Iowa State's better, but it's not easy, Wyatt, being the better team. Okay, that's just another stage Iowa State's going to have to go through. It's one thing to lose a close game early in the year to Iowa and have some things happen to you and then start fighting your way back. That's kind of a fun time for a football team. But when you're just flat out the favorite and there's no room for error and you have to win and your fans just look, don't even want to talk about the game, they want to talk about future things that are going to happen down the line. How about K-State coming in to finish off the season the Saturday after Thanksgiving? How about losing 9 straight times to K-State? Can't wait for that game. The fans aren't talking about KU because now they're Iowa State. They're ranked in the top 25 of the college football playoff poll that came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, Wyatt, when everyone tells you this is going to be easy. And the differential between these teams is not that much. I'm not talking about these two teams. I'm talking about most of the Big 12 teams. You know, how does Oklahoma State get whipped by K-State and then turn around and play so great against Texas? Because they're all not too far apart. So, yeah, to answer your question, there is a little bit of danger. Iowa State's a better team. You expect them, if they play their normal game, to take care of business, even though they're on the road. But watch for the psychology of the Cyclone players. Do they start thinking they've made it? Like, oh, this is an easy game. You do that, and suddenly it could be close very quickly.
Well, the other two games I want to ask you about real briefly, if you look at the conference standings, you've got Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Texas all at 4-1, but it's Oklahoma and West Virginia who are just one loss teams overall right now. So a lot of people will say at 6-2, Texas is out if you're talking about the college football playoff, and that may be so. But it's still an awfully big game in Austin on Saturday with West Virginia visiting at 2:30. A quick preview on that one, if you would.
Well, there's so much at stake for that ball game because you can talk about the college football playoff, and I think really only Oklahoma should have their eyes on that at all. You need to talk about, are you going to be a representative in the Big 12 championship game?
Exactly.
That is a big difference between being second and third in this conference, Wyatt. A giant difference because you get to go participate and mark off that you played in the championship game. And, oh, by the way, you might even win that game. We've seen in Big 12 conference play there have been upsets. More than likely, this is a game that will decide which team is going to be into the Big 12 championship game and which is not. Texas, I think Texas has a brand of football that's solid. It'll match up just fine with West Virginia. They're at home, but I think they need Sam Ehlinger to be at full speed. That may have been one of the reconciling items. He was out on the field, but probably not his normal self against Oklahoma State. I think they need him. Texas has a philosophy that they work with, but there's not a lot of room for error, not a lot of variability in what they do. They need to control the game, get first downs. West Virginia will be bringing all kinds of heat and pressure. I think their defense will cause Texas some problems on offense. And I think the West Virginia team is kind of refocused. That performance against Baylor was very impressive. I would think that West Virginia would more than likely be a slight favorite to get out of this game and make enough plays. But Texas is going to try to treat West Virginia like they did Oklahoma. That's, yeah, you may score, but we're not going to get demoralized. Because our offense is going to chug down the field. We're going to convert on third down. And if Sam Ellinger is completely healthy, he can run the football on third and shorts and second and mediums and things like that and take the physicality. But if he can't afford to get hit, if they've got to protect him, Wyatt, they are not going to be able to win. Sam Ellinger has got to be available to take the hits. It's just, you know, they're running kind of a Colin Klein type of philosophy. Remember Colin Klein in 2012? When K-State needed him to take the hits, he'd run in there, get the first down. And Texas is the same way. They cannot get around him running the football and win games.
And finally, Oklahoma at Texas Tech. I look at that game Saturday night at 7 and think, I would pay to watch that one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this game, you know, we have so much think about Patrick Mahomes now with the Kansas City Chiefs and Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns and the fact that those two guys are facing off against each other. And then you go back when they're in college and the game at Texas Tech, OU at Tech, was one of the greatest offensive games in the history of college football. We didn't know we were watching an NFL preview. You go talk about the receivers they were throwing to, they're guys that are making plays in the NFL right now. And so you get a little romance there. I think we get our head just all intertwined with what's going on in the pros and those guys and start saying, wow, maybe this week we got the same thing. Is this going to be crazy? Oklahoma against Texas Tech. Texas Tech's definitely playing better, Wyatt. And so we'll be able to see if they can push the accelerator far enough on the offensive side. Even a better Texas Tech defense is going to have trouble with what we've said is an unbelievable offense at Oklahoma. So at some point, Kyler Murray may have an off day. That's your chance to win. If he isn't off, then I don't know how you stop Oklahoma from scoring a ton of points. Just put 40 up on the board and then get ready for more. So, but this will be intriguing because Oklahoma, remember I talked about Iowa State being at risk, thinking we've made it. Oklahoma is used to doing this, but they still have a little bit of risk because after that loss to Texas, remember Lincoln Riley got rid of Mike Stoops, kind of turned things around, said this is not acceptable, things aren't going well. And you're saying, all you did is lose barely to Texas. What's all wrong? But then I think they feel like everything's easy now. You know, Ruffin McNeil's got the defense fixed, and this is going to be so easy, and you just better be careful. Don't ever let your guard down, especially 7 o'clock at night on ABC when you are going to Texas Tech, a little like Texas at Oklahoma State. I think Texas Tech will be playing better than they normally do because of the setting. That environment, a chance to really show off to the nation, will make them better. But I still would think Oklahoma is a little bit better. Offense is so good. I'd expect the Sooners to win. If they don't, oh my, really are going to have a race to the Big 12 championship.
Well, it should be a very interesting weekend in the Big 12, that is for sure. We'll have coverage from TCU and Fort Worth on Saturday starting at 12:30. You can see the game on FS1. National television and listen to the K-State Sports Network. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Wildcat Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.